Okay, so I'm looking at the wrong thing. The next item is the code of conduct, and this is coming back. Well, let's see. It was referred to the governance committee. Joe is bringing it back on the floor. Arlene, do you want to motivate this? It's the Pacifica style statement, which is also, there's two pieces to it, actually. One is a style statement and one is a code of conduct. Is that one? Okay, I take that back. The next one we'll consider is not the code of conduct, but actually the Motion Ray on-air policy, Pacifica policy statement on criticizing the foundation and or members of its management or staff on our own airwaves. Because Joe has chosen to bring it back to committee rather than to put it forward to the board again. Yes. Well, I think that to be more substantive in the answer to your question, Sean has suggested that actually our ethics policy really encompasses essentially all of this. I don't know if that's completely the case, but anyway, that's a policy which already exists. So if that's the case, it makes most of this redundant as far as what our policy is as far as behavior is concerned. There is, however, I think, a serious question about how do we enforce these policies, which is not really addressed at all in any of our existing documents. And I've already forwarded to the Governance Committee and also to all of you all the policy at the KPFT, which, as far as I know, is the only station that actually has procedures for how do you deal with code of conduct violations. So, yes.
It occurs to me that if you're going to be addressing issues pertaining to ethics, that I think we need a more robust approach than to have a declaration of this sort, even if it's signed or if somebody signs it with blood. I'm not impressed by that either. I worked for a state government whereby every year you reported on your assets, you reported on a variety of other things, and maybe this being California and former Governor Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify. And I think it's very important, not many things I agreed with him on, but I think that it's very important to have valid expressions so that there would be no semblance of impropriety that could come from the actions of this body, which I think touched many, many areas and many sensitivities. So I would suggest that an instruction be given to the governance committee to look at putting together a robust policy that includes verification mechanisms so that throughout the as employees, volunteers, and persons who are programmers, who are board members, who are delegates, will all be in a situation where we can feel confident about the nature of integrity in our actions.
When you say verification mechanisms, what do you mean?
I mean annual declarations of assets and other interests that one could have that would perhaps cloud their interests in regard to Pacifica.
We're talking about different things. You're talking about a conflict of interest policy.
Yeah, is this germane to the...
No, I don't think so.
Talking about ethics, right?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
I think there is enough overlap between what I had suggested, and I had not seen, I'm sorry to say, our ethics policy before I suggested that, that I've suggested to Joe that we take that back to the governance committee, take a good look at all three documents, and also any ways to enforce or whatever else we may wish to put with it. And so I think I personally support it going back to the governance
committee. Yeah, that's and I think your concerns can be folded into that as well.
It seems though we skipped over one that I thought we were at, which was the code of conduct piece, and I just wasn't up to speed.
Yes.
My apologies.
Yes.
Are we going back to those motions that were skipped over, or why did you skip them over?
No, because Joe is putting them back to committee.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's all. I just missed that part. Thank you.
We're going to address the motion Ray on air policy. Arlene.
Yes. I think that the reason that I've put this forth is that I feel that it's extremely important that we certainly need to have a mechanism by which people can exercise the right of bringing something to the air if they have dealt with, tried to deal with it in other ways, and if they're willing to approach that as a, in effect, whistleblower. But we've had a number of instances of people taking things to the airwaves that are absolute violations of personnel rights, and that should never be taken to the airwaves in the way that they have been. And I think we need to provide our managers a way to deal with this, and so I have recommended this policy.
We need someone to put the motion on the floor. I presume that's Joe.
Yeah, no, I'd certainly like to put the motion on the floor and be in support of it. I mean, we all know that, you know, in Pacifica, there's been a history.
Before you begin, is there a second for that? There's a second. Okay,
second.
Go ahead.
There's been a history, you know, and for the most part, a healthy one, you know, of programmers feeling a responsibility to not only, you know, beyond their whether they're doing a public affairs show or a music show, you know, reporting on affairs in the world at large, blowing the whistle or addressing internal issues when they feel that it's important to, and that's what happened in the late 90s, and we're grateful for the two programmers for alerting us to serious problems within the stations. At the same time, there are real legal concerns, legal liability issues, FCC regulatory concerns that we as a board must address and be responsible for and try to anticipate before they happen. And I think this policy, rather than just being a simple, you can't go in the air and say anything, attempts to sort of, you know, meet the programmers halfway and try to encourage programmers or ask programmers to go to management first with their issues before going on the air, so that management has a sense of what's, you know, what may be coming down the pike, or at the juncture where they raise it, try to advise them that perhaps that's not a good idea and let's look for a different way to resolve this. So I think, yes, I think most of us are aware of some of the instances, some more serious than others recently, where programmers have taken to the air in ways that were perhaps not that well thought out. And this policy seeks to address that. And I think it's important, whether or not programmers feel that they're still going to go ahead and do whatever they want to do, sort of thing, the board, I think, has a responsibility to have a policy in place to show that we are taking proactive steps to try to address this problem. You know, so that when we're in a situation down the road, legally, we have something to point to as a policy which tried to address the problem which we were aware of, as opposed to waiting for something even more serious to occur and then react without having a policy in place, which has been a problem for us in the past.
Okay, Rico, Tracy, Nia, Campbell.
Just a minute. Yeah, I remember what the ED was saying yesterday, that one of the things that she heard from people was that they didn't like to hear all the politic problems that were going on. They wanted to hear news and they wanted to hear their programs and not really the bickering that was going, the infighting within Pacifica. But at the same time, saying that, I'm a big fan of whistleblowers having a right to blow their whistle. So now, if the programmer can't go on the air without going to management, what if they go to management and management does anything? What recourse do they have at that point?
If management retaliates, you mean, in some way?
No. They have a grievance, and then they're not going to go on the air and just blurt it out. They're going to do what the policy would say, take it to management, and explain their grievance. And then they take it to management, and management does nothing. What recourse do they have at that point?
They go on the air and give them a day's notice. That's what the motion says.
I'm sorry, Judge. I missed that.
Well, if you're not satisfied with the response you're getting from management, you tell them, I'm going to go on the air in the next day or as soon as you can, within a day, and you do it. You go on the air. That's it. You get to express your grievance on the air. Management gets a chance to, with equal time, more or less, to be able to respond to what your grievance is on the air also.
Thank you.
So to be clear, what it doesn't keep anybody from taking a grievance on the air. What it does do is you need to give management, well, it says if you're personally aggrieved, you need to go through the grievance process first, if there is one. And if it's not satisfactory, you give them a day's notice that you're going to go on the air and provide time for them to respond with equal amount of time to whatever it is you want to say. But you get to say whatever it is you want to say.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, we're not going to have the discussion with the audience. Yes. Let's see. I have a stack, but I have Rico. Just got Rico. Tracy, Nia, Campbell, Summer, and I lost the rest. Sean, Jennifer, Trace, Alex. Okay, Tracy.
I think we already covered this point, but again, this is, I just want to say out loud, this is not a gag rule, and I've seen a gag rule, and this is not a gag rule. This is an equal time provision. I do think, like many resolutions I've seen that are a full page long, there are a couple of wording changes here that in a perfect world I would like to see made. I think there are a couple things here that need to be refined a bit, but on the whole, I think the policy is solid and much needed. I do think we have to look a bit at the grievance procedure specificities. There are places in which our grievance procedures are opaque at best, and I think we may need to refine that a bit. And there's a couple of other places where I think some of the language could be tightened up. I want to kind of put out that we do have some responsibility for what appears on our airwaves in terms of libel and slander. I mean, that's a legal liability issue. And like obscenity, it is an area in which we are expected to exercise some oversight. I don't think most things that people go to the radio about to complain about do incorporate libel and slander, but I think it's possible. And I do think that we do need to empower our managers to at least be notified if there's a problem. You don't want to find out about it after you've aired it. It's a question, really, of responsibly using the airwaves that we've been entrusted with. You know, what's how we use our licenses is something that we do need to empower our executive director and manager to take care of. And I think this is a good way to do this without a gag rule, which is, you know, the line that I think that we need to walk. So in general, I support it. And that said, there's definitely like 30 words in here that I would twist around a bit.
Let's see. Nia.
Yeah, thank you. You know, Rico asked one of my questions, so that saves that. And also, I realistically, I can't see any manager around here that's going to give you permission to say something that that is not very favorable. I'm for protecting the image of the foundation, but I want to be realistic. I heard comments here that William Heerwagen was thrown off because he played the one-year anniversary of something. First of all, I'm not up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I don't know what he played. So I can't talk about it. But if it's the one-year anniversary, and if it's what I'm thinking back to based on the conversation, it was the one-year anniversary of Grace's attempt to go to WBAI to close the locks on the transmitter room. I'm trying to understand, I really do. That is, it's not a lie. It was the anniversary. In a case like that, if he would have gone to Muriel to ask her could he play that, I can't see her saying yes. So I'm a bit confused as to, is this really going to work? And we talk about free speech. I'm not saying that they should go there and just say all kinds of crazy things. But if someone says, you know, there's been change in management, however, we're not making the revenue and stuff like that, is that something that is derogatory? I need some examples, maybe from Arlene, as to what do you think a manager would approve for someone to go on the air and say?
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, it doesn't talk about approval at all. It just it says notification and the chance for if you've reached the point that there is no satisfaction to your grievance and you take it to the airwaves, then you need to give 24 hours notice and give management the opportunity to respond. Or they need to be able to take that opportunity. So it's not saying that they give you any permission. That's not what's there at all. What it tries to do is to address first that you've tried to deal with whatever this grievance is. So, for instance, you don't take to the airwaves and make statements about other people in the station or, you know, some of the actions that are happening without having to address them through the channels of working within the station first. It comes back also to what people have been saying to me that they really don't like to hear on our airwaves, which is us airing basically all of our dirty laundry, when most of it should be being dealt with internally.
Right. Could I just finish up, George? I think you were probably put in the situation that you've walked into. I don't know what happened at KPFA because I obviously don't listen to KPFA, whatever the story is, whose server is saying what. I don't know those details. But I think people tend to do that when they're not heard or they feel that there has been some injustice brought against them. And I think that's what happened. So I don't know. I think that that's why I thought that we should have thought this out a little bit more before we passed it. I didn't get it until what, maybe the day before, the night before. Maybe it was there, I just didn't see it, because I know I have been having some eye issues. So those are my concerns about that.
Campbell.
I think Arlene is getting ready to say something.
I was just going to say that actually I first brought it to the March meeting, and at that point we referred it back to governance. So it's been circulating since the March 6th meeting. April 6th, I'm sorry.
Campbell.
Thank you very much. I think that one of the consequences of some kind of action being taken in this regard will be that in places such as WPFW, where there are no grievance procedures, where people can be just snatched off the air at a moment's notice, totally unfairly, they come to the LSB meeting complaining about unfair treatment, and then our management, I don't know if this counts as a grievance that I'm raising, but our management somehow gives them a stone-deaf ear. And I don't think that that's right, because especially in our case, you have volunteers who've oftentimes put in 10, 20, 30 years of service to this station, and they get capriciously kicked off without any kind of explanation. Now, there's supposed to have been a review process. That's academic, was academic, has never moved from being academic. So maybe this thing can help inspire some of our stations to actually come up with grievance procedures that make some sense, that engage the family, the Pacifica family, to some reasonable degree, whereby the issues and problems would not have to come forward. I think that it's a good idea, the equal time notion. That seems to be entirely fair. But also, I think that there can be circumstances where management doesn't have to necessarily respond, where maybe what can take place is that the following statement that you're being presented with is not a reflection of management's attitude about anything pertaining to this, and it's totally the reflection of the broadcaster, him or herself, and that these opinions should not be considered in any other context. Now, just as Arlena said that she's heard from people that they are somewhat annoyed by hearing about our laundry, I think that I've certainly heard from people that they are pleased to know that there's flesh and blood out there, that they aren't getting that they aren't just getting Muzak updated for 2010, and that this is something that's real and live and palpable, and I can be a member of it, and it. Sometimes people disagree, you know, and this is a way in which those kinds of disagreements can be handled with some integrity, and the people who are broadcasting can be treated with dignity and respect, as well as the station having an opportunity, if it so chooses, to respond to the particular issue. Now, this doesn't mean that this issue will go on day after day after day as a continuing drumbeat, and you know, all of the music that is played is a constant reference to this sort of thing, but you know, because that really takes away from the quality of the broadcast. But I think that where someone does have that kind of freedom, and we're talking about, in our instance, volunteers, I think that this is a plus. And I would just suggest that we come up with maybe a model kind of grievance procedure, perhaps through our governance committee.
Is that a motion?
Well, I was thinking that this should go back to committee. I would refer it back to committee. But with these provisos to work on it. So I move that it be referred back to committee with the instruction to look at the preparation of a model grievance procedure and a statement whereby the management, if it doesn't choose to respond to it, can just move forward.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Okay, so what's on the floor now is a motion to refer it back to the Governance Committee and to include coming forward with some kind of grievance procedure for the network.
Grievance procedure and a statement of, you know, disavowal of the whatever took place.
Okay, so, Joe, did you want
to... Mr. Chair.
Okay, we definitely have a grievance procedure under our collective bargaining agreement with respect to union employees. And I wanted to point out the distinction here, given what Nia has stated. What's on the table is airing internal grievances on the air. The issue that, that Nia brought up is news, and that's not what this addresses. There's a distinction between airing matters of general public interest and airing matters that the public has no interest in. What's going on within a workplace, the general public doesn't have any interest in that. And the fact that most of our employees don't have access to the airwaves, and you're basically, if you're allowing those that do have access to the airwaves to air their personal grievances that the general public has no interest in, then you're setting them apart from the regular employees. So Campbell is correct. What we need is a grievance procedure if it's not working with respect to those grievances. But what Arlene has proposed does not at all affect the general news items that the general public is interested in. What we're concerned about is somebody's upset with the way he's being treated, and he goes to the airwaves to air it. And the public is sitting there saying, what do I care?
Summer. You're next, Sean.
You're next.
You're going to preempt? Ladies before gentlemen.
You want me to trade? Can I trade places with him? I have such emotion. He wants to say something.
Yes.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Remember, this is a question of legal liability and control of our airways. And the way I read this motion, this would ensure if you gave notice that management would have to let you on. And also, folks, there's a question of equity and fairness here. You know, if you take somebody to court, you don't get to go in and just file a complaint and then go to court and win your case. You have to give the other side notice. And that's what's important about this motion. You should have to give notice. If you're going to attack management for something they've done, you should have to give them at least 24 hours notice, so that they can prepare their response. And that's only fairness and equity there. Thank you.
Summer?
Yes. I have a substitute motion, but I think it may need a little tinkering as well. I would like to move to refer this to the programming committee, because we're basically talking about programmers here. They're the ones who have access to the airwaves. Governance deals with us largely. So I would move that we refer this to programming, and I'll submit my substitute motion to them so it can be tinkered. You're welcome.
Oh, second. It's good for you.
Okay, so this is essentially an amendment to Campbell's motion.
Yeah, because you want to refer it to, right?
You want to refer it to governance, and you want to refer it to programming and not governance, or both?
Well, I don't mind both, but I think programming is more relevant just in terms of that's what we're talking about. What do you go on the air with? So I think, I think it should go to programming, definitely, because you have to decide what goes on the air, and that's what we're talking about here.
Okay, well, is there a second to Summers' amendment?
Second.
Okay. What's on the floor, then, is that amendment. So let's speak to that, whether to send it to programming or whether to send it to governance.
Or to both.
Or neither. Let's see. Alex and then Campbell.
Okay. I think this is a sensible motion. The amendment is sensible, and I support it for the reason that there needs to be some better distinction between what is actually news reportage and what is actually airing personal grievances during what is in effect a public trust, the airwaves. And this has happened before. People have abused the airwaves, but we have to have some kind of procedure or regulation about that. But we also want to make it clear that news reporting and certain artistic programming, say some kind of satire or something, that should be completely open and free. And I think we need some more consideration here.
Thanks. Yeah. Campbell.
If you use humor, it's okay.
Remember you said that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to say that this discussion has given me a flashback moment, and I'm remembering... No, not quite a hot flash, but I'm remembering back to when I first moved back to D.C., and I turned on WPFW and first became a member again of Pacifica. And what I was in love with was the blues. And I used to listen to the Bama every Saturday. And it just was, besides the wonderful music and general commentary, I was intrigued about the fact, and I was so delighted that I did not know this man. And he did not know anything about me, because all the time, anybody who he knew got mentioned on there, and his girlfriend, and who was seeing whom, and who was doing what. And I mean, this was a free-flowing thing. There was, I expect, no harm involved anywhere around, and, you know, but, or intended or anything like that. Now, something like that could have gotten out of control. But you know, and it wasn't about issues pertaining to the station or anything. But the thing is that I think a robust examination of this matter, this concern, where it can involve the station and its management, it can involve the community as a whole, and it can involve people being hurt who should not be actually hurt. And I think that perhaps in addition to having grievance procedures, there may be some indication here for identifying some training needs that should be addressed, so that we have broadcasters who keep this in mind and realize that they have a trust that they have to maintain as well. And that's my only comment on that.
Tracy.
It's not that I'm not having a good time with you all, but I call the question.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to calling the question?
No.
Okay, so please. We're voting on the amendment, Sumner's amendment, to refer it to the programming committee instead of the governance committee. Is there any objection to that?
I'm the only one to worry about it.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Campbell?
It's not exactly an objection, but I think that it would be worthwhile for both committees to review it, because I think it's got...
it's a hybrid.
Yeah, it's got feet in both camps.
Okay, so the problem is that we already called the question. There was no objection to calling it.
Well, this is another amendment, isn't it?
You can't make another amendment after calling the question.
Could be and.
There's no way to accept that amendment?
Just a point of order.
We haven't got that far.
A point of order, George? I was just about to say this. I was going to move just to suspend the rules. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Can we just do that, please? It's 1 o'clock for me.
Two-thirds vote to suspend the rules, correct, sir?
Yeah.
Oh. Is there any objection?
I'm making that up. Probably two-thirds. I don't exactly know.
Is there any objection?
Well, let me ask that. Is there any objection to allowing Campbell to introduce the amendment to...
Yes, I object.
Okay. So then we have to suspend the rules in order to do that, which requires two-thirds. So
I'm saying suspend the rules, so just do it.
I know you are, Nia, but Tracy is not, you see.
Look at how much time we spend.
That's the problem.
Oh, my God.
Was Nia's motion actually seconded?
Nia's motion?
Campbell's motion.
No. Rico's motion was...
You like me to make a motion? I motion to adjourn.
Campbell...
Information.
Yes. Put your hand up if you want to suspend the rules and allow Campbell to introduce another amendment after having called the question.
I just have a point of information, because I looked it up and it says two-thirds except where the rule protects a minority of less than one-third. Could you explain that to me?
No. Absolutely not.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please raise your hand if you want to suspend the rules in order to allow Campbell to make the motion.
A point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
It strikes me, and I could be mistaken, so I'll refer to your judgment, that if we vote on the motion to send it to the programming committee, then that motion has cleared. We only have one motion.
You are motion. Correct.
We
you
only
correct.
Have one motion remaining, and we can add a motion
you
to
are
that.
You are quite correct.
Correct?
Thank you.
Sorry,
thank
I
you.
Missed all that. What?
Thank you.
He gets it. He'll explain.
We're just gonna vote on the motion to send it to programming. So, is there any objection to sending it to programming?
I'm interested, but I believe you. Okay.
No. Okay. Now, what's on the floor is the main motion to sending it to programming, and it is amendable. Campbell?
Yes.
Would you like to amend it to send it to governance as well?
Yes.
Is there a second for that?
Yes. Yes.
Is there any objection to sending it to governance as well?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Can we go to a vote on whether or not to send it to governance as well? Okay. Yes. Campbell's amendment is to send it to programming, to send it to governance as well as programming. It's a perfectly legitimate motion. It's on the floor. It needs to simply be voted on, yes or no. Okay, so would those who support the motion to send it to governance as well, please raise their hand. One, two, three. All those opposed, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven,
eight. Right behind you. Eight. Nine.
Nine. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. See, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I voted to send it to Governor Nissel.
No, you did that already. He said support that. Yeah, you voted. Right.
Saw you voted correctly on that one.
And abstentions?
You're abstaining?
I'm abstaining.
Two people are abstaining. Three people abstaining.
Four
people abstaining. Okay, the motion fails. We're now on the main motion, which is to send this to the program committee. Any objection to the main motion? Okay. Hearing none, the motion passes, and we are out of time, and given the silliness of the hour, I think it's time to adjourn. Please be back at 9 in the morning sharp. We're meeting here at 9. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're not. We're meeting in the room for the executive session.
Okay, good.
At 9 a.m.
Don't forget to check out first.
Yes, check out first so we don't have to do it in the middle of the meeting.